Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening. Thank you very much. You are now rocking with the best. Big shout outs to the man, Brother B, holding us down on all of our social media platforms. Make sure you check us out. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. Your support is always loved and appreciated. Today, we have a great guest. She just blowing it up in women's hockey. We like to call her MGM, but you guys might know her as Michaela Grant Mentez. And I feel like we need to just get into it right away. So without any further ado, of course, always joining me, my nephews, the Get Busy Boys, Double Troubles in the house, Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. And I don't know which one of you guys want to go first, but I think we need to talk about something that happened last week. The three of us got online, played a little video games. Who wants to go first and talk about the nastiness?
Yeah, I'll go first. First of all, Kwame, I owe you a deep, sincere apology.
I've been chirping for
a lot of months about your NHL abilities from what I expected. We hopped on the sticks. And, you were good. You were really good. Honestly, I was very surprised. When I was picking my team, I was like, why am I wasting this guy's time? Like, I kind of feel bad at this point. I shouldn't even be playing him. I should know better. And you kind of ran my show a little bit. We played two games. You beat me the first game. I think you beat me by a couple of goals or something.
It's like two goals.
Yeah. And then I beat you in shootout the second game. So a couple of close ones there. I actually respect you a lot more now. Like,
appreciate it.
Like, you weren't capping.
That was
good, but you know, now to the bad news. I could have, you know, lit a candle with how much wax I produced from the games with Elijah. Played him twice. It was good to kind of get a warm up in there. So Elijah, you can kind of explain what happened there, bud.
Well, first of all, I think we need to settle down here. It's we got to relax, okay? You beat me the first game 5-2, which, sure, you beat me by three goals.
Is that a waxing or what?
I wouldn't call that a waxing. If you can, unless you want to lie to everybody, that was a pretty close game. It was. I don't think you ran away with that. And then the second game, you beat me in overtime off one of the worst goals I've seen in NHL history. So
I'll agree.
I'll give you your respect being up 2-0 in the series, but we said it is the first to win 10. But when Akil was playing you, Kwame, he texted me and he was like, "Uh-oh." And I said, "What?" He said, "Kwame's actually pretty good at NHL." And I was like, All right. But then I got to play in Kwame.
Yes, yes.
And although he was good, I couldn't
do it.
The goals for, goals against was 9 for me and 1 for Kwame over 2 games.
It was bad.
So
no,
but
I beat you. You beat Akil.
I think it's styles. It really definitely is styles. For some reason, I just couldn't crack your defense. You clogged up the neutral zone. I couldn't get anything going. But with Akil, I could hold on to the puck forever. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think with Elijah's very zippity-doo-dah. So you have to watch it. You have to literally play in front of his guy and not really worry about it. And sometimes that frustrates you. So I know, Akil, you were saying that I frustrate you for holding the puck so much. My frustration is Elijah does all this nonsense and you just want to go nail that guy. And if you miss, he's burying it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want to, yeah. Big hits, so, big hits.
One thing that I'll say is that it is like the playing styles. Like I've played Elijah like probably over 100 times now. He is very zippity doodah. He'll try to make the moves. And for me, I like that because I like to like be patient defensively, and I know he's going to try a deke every time. So I just get the puck. I have the puck. I'm going to stick the whole game. But for you, you never do anything that's like risky. So you play the right way. Like you have the puck on your stick the whole game, but I'm used to having the puck on my stick the whole game. So whenever you have it, I get frustrated. I'm like, I'm just going to go blow this guy up and get out of position. And then you make a nice pass and then you score or something. So it definitely is playing styles. And it's kind of weird how I'm just the best.
I don't know how you got to that conclusion, but you know, so in the series right now, myself against Akil, it's 1-1, and Akil against Elijah, it's 2-0, and Elijah against Kwame, it's 2-0. So it's going good. You know, we'll amp it up a little bit, and you know, and see what else is going on as far as the, you know, for next week's update.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the three of us did play together, and
the worst,
but you know, I just want to mention that I do lead our team in scoring.
You do. Okay, we were playing threes though, and
I was playing defense, so that's, I don't know if that says anything, but you know, we will give an update next week, because I'm sure there will be some more games played.
Yes.
But I think, Kwame, if we were to ask you right now who's better, Akil or I, who would you say?
I got to be honest, Akil, Elijah.
Are you? No, but, you, no, no. You the, can't the play, do that, though. You but, can't do that because why? Elijah has yet to beat me.
So I hear you. I don't understand how. Like,
I'm don't playing, lie.
I'm not. I'm just saying from playing Elijah, I'm just like, how did this guy lose so badly to Akil?
All it is you don't know how to play him yet. Once you find out, it'll just be like cooking rice.
Okay.
Like Akil, you don't know how to cook rice, man.
You're right.
All right. That's dope. It was a lot of fun. Our team, for anybody that's out there, is called the Get Busy Boys. So if you want to try to play against us. Actually, don't play against us yet. We still got to figure out our chemistry. And Akil is not playing goalie ever again. It's not going to ever happen.
Yeah, just wanted to take this time. It's our first episode into March. And obviously, February was a pretty cool month. I thought with everything that kind of happened in the States and in hockey in general last year with, you know, racial issues, I think this February was... I think the best Black History Month ever for hockey, in terms of, you know, big brands stepping up and doing campaigns, Hockey Canada, CCM, Bauer, all these big campaigns who would like, they would, you know, do stuff from the regular year, but they kind of saw the importance of kind of making it glow this year. I thought they did a really good job, and I'm pretty happy to see my sport kind of, you know, taking the acknowledge of that and making an effort to kind of, you know, make it better. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, just to add on to that, it was a great month. And, you know, I really hope that we don't just look back and kind of discard everything that we learned and talked about this past month. It's important that it's not a moment and it's a movement and that we keep moving forward. And even with this month being a gender equality month, there's more to talk about and there's more things that need to be done. So although it was a great job, let's just keep on moving forward.
Yeah, let's not just make it the month of February. We've got to talk about, you know, we've got to normalize minority faces and voices in the game of hockey, 365, 24/7. And you're right. I think a lot of the brands, like you said, Akil, did some great jobs. A lot of the teams have done some great jobs. I don't know if you guys saw my Twitter. I threw up some pictures from the Washington Capitals. They sent me a sick warm-up jersey. I did a little voiceover for their Black History Month celebration. So big shout out to the Washington Capitals for doing that. And I did some stuff with the Seattle Kraken, who's always on top of it, as well as the Florida Panthers. So just want to give a big shout out to those organizations specifically. And of course, all the work that we've done with the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I was looking the other day, and I realized we're coming close to our 1-year anniversary.
Yes, so
it's It's kind of crazy.
What are we going to do? We got to do something.
We're going to do, yeah. We're going to talk and get something special going. But we, it's kind of like I was looking back. I was like, wow, it's been a year already. And it's kind of flown by, but it's been great. And we definitely got to talk and get something special for 1 year.
Why don't we have 10 million followers right now? I don't understand that.
Well, it's going to take time, but, you know, after this, what are you guys doing? Like, who am I getting here?
Oh, are we going online? Is that what's happening?
I have time today, Kwame.
Okay.
I don't have time today. I have a midterm in 40 minutes. So
I got to go pick it. I got to go pick leave this call in. I
got Elijah. We got to get off because Elijah's to start studying. Knowing him.
Continue studying. I had a midterm this morning that I'm pretty confident that I killed it. So
nice, good job, buddy. Good job. Go
2 for 2 on the day, and you know, continue studying, not start studying. Okay. This isn't a high school anymore. I've started to learn that I gotta do a little bit more work.
And, you're doing all that, Brock. Come on now.
Yeah, but it's a bit different.
Yeah.
Now, good job, now I'm at Ryerson. This is priority, getting good grades. So.
What's your average?
Last semester it was 74.
I
believe this semester I should be able to get it higher because I've done well in my classes so far. I think I can get 80 average this semester. So that's still early.
Keep working, pal. Keep working.
All right. Without further ado, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, MGM, Michaela Grant Mentes, holding it down with the boys on the podcast. We'll be right back. All right, our next guest, born in Brampton, Ontario, Canada. She's the all-time leading scorer of the Merrimack Warriors women's ice hockey program during the NWHL Isabel Cup. She was the leading scorer. She is a rising star, but it's baked in her blood. So, soul brothers and soul sisters, please welcome MGM, a.k.a. Michaela Grant Mentes. What's going on, girl?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we got it. We have to give you the nice intro because you've been killing it on the ice. So thanks for joining us. What have you been up to? What's going on? What's new?
Honestly, nothing really. I'm just back at work, and I took off 5 weeks for the bubble. So I just got back to work today, and that's it. It was a tiring day.
Right. When did you get back from Salt Lake City? You must have been pretty disappointed you couldn't continue, you know, because you were on fire out there.
Yeah. It was disappointing, but at the same time, it's like people's safety is more important than playing hockey games. So I definitely understood their decision to stop the tournament and stuff.
For the most part, young Black girls in the game have, you know, unconventional ways of being discovered and introduced to playing hockey in the first place. But for you, sports, let alone hockey, is deep in your family's blood. How far back do you know of your family's athletic history, regardless of if it's ball hockey, baseball, you know, whatever it may be?
Honestly, I just know that, like, I don't even know because my dad hasn't told me everything, but I know it's way, way back, like in the Nova Scotia league that started back there. But then, like, I'm not sure how it changed over to ball hockey from ice hockey and, like, when it came back. So, like, I'm not sure, but I know it's, like, history and history back.
We got to talk to your dad because, I mean, history is so important. And when I was making the film Soul on Ice, Past, Present, and Future, I was in Nova Scotia. And I met one of your relatives. And they were telling me that your family goes all the way back to the Colored Hockey League of the Maritimes. So like I said, it's in your blood.
Yes, it is.
So when I think about my, like, first memories of hockey, I think about, you know, early mornings, cold equipment in the morning, the worst stuff like that. Going to in the hotels every weekend. What would you say your first kind of memories of hockey were?
definitely the traveling part with like my brothers and my dad and my mom, like we'd always go together to everything. So it's like, we never really went on vacation. It was like our vacations were hockey tournaments. So like, no matter where it was, we'd all go. And then like being in the hotel together, that was like the best part for me. Just like being with every team and like different surroundings and stuff.
Ball hockey's always been a big part of your family's life. I played for your dad and with your brother. Your dad is known as one of the best hockey player or ball hockey players, not just in Canada, but the entire world. How come you never decided to go down that road?
I did play ball hockey a bit when I was growing up, but then I remember my dad sat me one game and I was like, okay, I'm not playing again.
Yeah, your dad sat me a couple of times too.
Right? It's like, you're my dad, you can't sit me. So after that point, I was like, okay, I guess this sport's just not for me. I will let my brothers take that side and I'll just stay with the ice hockey part.
That's hilarious. So your dad's no joke then. Your dad's no joke.
He's no joke. Yep.
So like I said, I was in Nova Scotia and the relative of yours that I met was Ray Mantis. Do you know Ray? Heard of him?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
We got to get the Mantis family together. I think we're going to have
to do this. It's too big.
It's really yeah, that big. Well,
it is.
He played in Sudbury and he was scouted by the Chicago Blackhawks. And he told me that obviously like the Mantis family have a longstanding history in hockey that you guys definitely have to be proud of, no question. You were and are a force on the ice. How early do you remember playing hockey? And, you know, when did you know that this was the sport for you?
I started playing like 4 years old, like many people. The thing I remember the most is like me and my twin used to play together and we'd play like Timbits or whatever it's called, like when you're very, very young. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like I didn't know how to stop. So every time I stopped, I'd just run into the boards and like, he would always laugh at me. So like, that's my first memory of like actually playing hockey and stuff. And then it wasn't until like later on in my years of playing that I was like, oh, maybe I'm actually good at this sport. Cause like, he was always better. So he would always get like all the spotlight and everything. And I would just kind of be in the background. Mm. It wasn't until like I changed over to girls hockey, I believe, was when I was like, oh, I'm actually good at this sport when I play with like females. So I think that's when I like realized that the sport's for me.
I feel like for a lot of black hockey players, it's not like it's not their dream to make the NHL just because, you know, for themselves, for their family, for their friends. I feel like it's kind of, you know, for the few black kids who can kind of look up to them and feel similar to someone. Would you feel it's the same for, you know, not only colored people, but for women in general?
Yeah, for sure. And especially because like the NWHL league is like so new and stuff that like my main goal when I was growing up was just to get to college and like be able to play college hockey and get a scholarship. And like, that's, I think that's every woman's dream. And that's like pretty much how far you could go at that point because there was no league afterwards. But now that there is a professional league for women to play in, I feel like just the like selected amount of people of color that are in the league show that young girls that like they're able to make it that far, and if they just keep pushing hard that they can get there and stuff. So I think it's the same dream for both sides.
I think that's actually really awesome because, you know, you're definitely going to be a role model and you're going to open up the doors for a lot of young girls out there. And I hope that you get to reap the rewards financially, you know, because you were saying that you just came back home and you got to go back to work, which is gotta be frustrating. Do you feel like, you know, that's kind of the hard part about being a female in the game of hockey right now, that you gotta go and play and go and work?
Yes and no. Like, I definitely would love to get paid more. Like, who doesn't want to get paid more? But at the same time, I think like just playing hockey, I'd be so bored. Like when I was at school, like, yeah, we had hockey every day. We worked out every day, but I still worked at school because I'm like, I just need like more to do. Like I can't just have like 4 hours of my day taken up and then like the last 20 hours I just have to like figure out what to do and stuff. So I like being busy. So I need more than just hockey to be busy.
To me, the whole Mentis, Sheriff, Smith family, I consider them family. I've known you guys since I was around 5 years old. And for those who don't know, you have a pretty deep history of family who's doing successful in hockey. There's Giovanni, Jamel, yourself, of course, Dante, Candace, the list kind of goes on. But you do have a twin brother that you mentioned. What is that relationship like, and how have you two kind of influenced each other with your careers?
He's like, him and my older brother are like my number one fans. Like anytime I'm doing anything, they're always hyping me up on any social media and stuff. And like, as I said before, like growing up, like he was better. Like I will for sure say that he was definitely better than me back then. But then as we got older and like he started to fall off from hockey, like he will never say that I'm better, but he definitely knows deep down that like I'm kind of getting better than him at this point. But like, don't tell him that. But yeah, they're like my biggest supporters, and they'll support me in anything and like whatever I do. They're always there. They're always watching all my games at Merrimack, Toronto Six, like no matter what time it is, what time it's at and stuff. So he's definitely a huge supporter for me.
So your coach from the Toronto Six, Digit Murphy, says you're an offensive juggernaut and you control the flow of the game out there. Who do you fashion your style of play after, and how was it adjusting from NCAA hockey to pro hockey?
I honestly, I get asked this question a lot, but I don't really like look up to anybody, and I don't like try and copy people and like how they play, because I kind of like want to be my own player and like do my own thing. So I try and like stay away from like comparing myself to other people, just like pretty much working as hard as I can to get better and like knowing my skill and knowing what I can give to teams. But like for the Toronto Six, going from NCAA Toronto Six, like it's just more professional, like more mature. Like the women are way stronger like in the NWHL than they are in NCAA. But I think like the pace and everything, it's not the same. Like it's definitely faster in the NWHL, but like the skill you need to have and like the focus and like just the all around awareness of the game is definitely the same in both. It's just like people have gotten way better since college and stuff.
So you dominated at Merrimack, and then you come here and you dominated as well. And I'm sure you still got lots of hockey left to play, but you did get your degree in criminology. Have you given much thought on what you want to do after hockey?
Honestly, I have no idea. Like, I keep saying that I don't want to have the same job for like my whole entire life. So like some days I want to be a lawyer. I also got a degree in psychology. So like some days I want to be a psychologist. I'm like, honestly, every day it switches. So like, I'm not too sure. I'm just keeping on the hockey path for now until I figure it out.
Do you use that psychology on the ice?
I wouldn't say much on the ice, but definitely like meeting people and stuff, I use it a lot.
Yeah.
That's such a Kwame question.
It is. Yeah. I would use that. Like I would try to psych somebody out or try to get into their head and just throw them off without having to like chirp them or so, you know what I mean? what was your experience like in the bubble? Again, you know, It was a very interesting tournament, and you know, a lot of attention was on it. But for you personally, what was that experience like?
It was honestly like the best experience I've ever had. I've never experienced anything like that before, and like we actually felt like we were like professional hockey players. Like all the stuff that we got, and like just how we were treated the whole time was just like amazing. It kind of did suck a lot because like there was so many COVID restrictions, and it was like you were either in your room by yourself or you were at the rink. Like that was the two spots right. You had to go. You had to eat every meal alone. Like it was just like you were alone a lot. And it's like, well, I'm not used to being alone. Like I'm used to eating pregame meals with people, like walking to the rink with people. And it's like no, you have to do this by yourself, this by yourself. But you can be together at the rink on the ice. So it's like, that's all we really had with each other.
So you grew up in Brampton, then kind of had to go to the States for school. I grew up in Florida, kind of moved to Toronto when I was 11. And for me, like, the adjustment of the culture was like way different. I grew up going to Canada for every Christmas and stuff, but just being involved with, you know, the Canadian kids was so different. And I don't think people realize how different like Canadian hockey culture is and like American hockey culture is. Would you agree with that? And what would you say like the differences are?
I think it's a little bit different between like male and females, but I definitely see what you mean. Like coming to the Canadian side, I feel like not everyone's like more welcoming, but it's just kind of like, it's just more of like a unit, like everyone's on the same page and like what they want to do. But I definitely see what you mean by like going over to the States. Cause when I went over for school and stuff, it was like, it was kind of just like a different environment. Like everyone's just like, all win, 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 do this, do this, do this. But like back in Canada, I felt like it was like, well, let's have fun while we win. And like, let's like not take it too serious, but be serious when we need to be and stuff like that.
So the wish is to have one woman's hockey league in the near future. How invested in this are you, or are you just taking it as it comes day by day?
I'm definitely invested in it. I want the league to survive and succeed and like accomplish what they want to accomplish and stuff. It's just, I'm hoping that it's in like the years that I'm still playing so that I can benefit from it. But if it's not, at least like we're making, like we're paving the way for younger generations and stuff so that they have something to look forward to.
Are you also trying on the side to kind of work with younger girls in hockey, you know, either like camps or mentorship?
Yeah, I'm trying to do a lot of stuff. It's kind of crazy. I'm trying to get into coaching and stuff down here in Brampton, but with like COVID, like everything was shut down last year. So it's like, you don't really know if it's going to start up again and whatnot. But like mentoring and stuff, like I definitely try my hardest to try like to mentor people that come and ask me questions and stuff. But I definitely want to get into coaching and stuff.
Mikayla, I really don't know how through all the years you haven't been a part of Team Canada's program because
talk to
look
him.
At the numbers. Anybody who's seen you play knows you're just as good, if not better, than all those women on that team. But the Olympics are coming up soon, and I think after your performance in the bubble, you're definitely on the radar. Is that something that you're kind of looking forward to and a goal of yours?
Have they even talked to you yet?
Unfortunately, no, and it is a goal, and I try my hardest every day to get better and better just to, you know, like to even get on their radar and stuff. But I mean, there's only so much I can do. Like I can only play hockey, work out, and that's it. So not sure what else I need to do at this point.
Akil, what you gotta have some connects. I mean, golden boy.
I don't know. I've heard Hockey Canada is very different for like the women and men's program. I just feel like it's kind of ran a little bit differently and not the same people are kind of involved. So
100%.
Yeah. Like I've heard with I don't know, with Women's Hockey Canada, it's more like if you don't kind of make it like early on, you're kind of off the radar for a while.
Wow.
Whereas like for men's hockey, like a guy won't make like U17s or U18s, but he'll play World Juniors and stuff like that. I feel like I've heard that doesn't really typically happen. Not only in like women's hockey, but like in Team Canada, like women's everything. That's just
and forgive me, Hockey Canada, but maybe that's why the U.S. keeps slapping them up all the time.
Okay, one year,
fresh talent in there, you know.
One year.
Okay. Maybe you know what? Maybe we're gonna have to do a campaign. We might have to start a campaign. Give a girl a shot. Like, I mean, I think at the end of the day, and I think all of us here would agree, you know, it's not like you want to just get put on the spot just to get put on the spot, but, you know, give a girl a shot to at least have them say, you know, you're not good enough. Like, Wouldn't you, you know, I don't know the politics in that, and I don't know how much you want to speak on that, but I to me, I think that's at the very least, you know, if they're not even having a conversation with you this year, then there's definitely a problem in that system for sure. And, you know, that's just my opinion. Elijah, you're the GM of the podcast. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, like, leading scorer at Merrimack.
Yes.
Always you. So you say whatever you want to say, but then you put her in the bubble and she dominates. So
yes,
you're right. There's, if they don't pick her on the team, then maybe they can find a way to justify it. But there's no reason why there shouldn't be a conversation, a camp invite, an opportunity given. It wouldn't really add up if that wasn't there.
We're gonna have to make some free Michaela shirts. You know, give her a girl a shot. So women have been very involved when it comes to equality, social justice issues. You saw the attention Soraya got during the time of the bubble. What kind of conversations did the Sixes have? And where do you stand on being vocal about any issues you may be concerned about?
Pretty much for the Six, it was kind of like we're all on the same page. Like, everyone understands that, like, racism is a problem in our day and age and in the sport of hockey. And everyone was, like, pretty excited to see, like, we had end racism patches on our jersey and stuff. And everyone was pretty excited to see that and, like, see that, like, we're trying to speak out and, like, show that, you know, we're trying to make changes in our league as well. For, like, the speaking out part, like, I love what Soraya is doing and all, but I'm not that comfortable, like, speaking out like that. So, like, I kind of, like, stay in the background. But if anything's, like, ever brought up to me or, like, anyone asks me a question, like, I'm more than welcome to, like, talk to them about it or even speak on it. But if it's not, like, directed to me, I kind of, like, shy away from talking about it much.
You're not front page.
Like, yeah, it's just, like, different personalities, you know? Like, I'm kind of, like, the back person that, like, does all the work, but there's a front person that gets all, like, the fame. I kind of like being in the back.
You're like the hype man. You're like the Flavor Flav of women's hockey, but not as loud.
You're gonna regret telling Kwame that, because he's gonna get on you now.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I was just on the NHL Network and we were talking about this very same thing, and I think that there's sometimes a lot of pressure on you guys as hockey players, that in this day and age, you know, you're almost expected to speak out, and it just might not be in your nature. Akil, have you ever found yourself in that position where it's like something comes up and you get microphones in your face and you're just like, dude, I don't even have an opinion on that yet?
Yeah. If I'm being honest, Kwame, I would still be that way if it wasn't for you, I think.
Really?
I think just, well, throughout the years, like, you've always been pushing me to, like, just use my voice more and, like, actually be a little bit more impactful. So just got me thinking. Because, like, my dad's more on, like, the, like, he's kind of quiet guy, just kind of speaks when he needs to. And that's kind of how I was. But, like, you're the person who kind of made me realize that I don't have to be that way and I can kind of use my voice. So, yeah, I'm definitely different now. And it's definitely because of you. So.
Do you feel comfortable in that space, though?
Yeah, I feel 100% comfortable. Yeah, I wouldn't really do anything I'm not comfortable with, and obviously think about every, you know, every post and, you know, everything I say and stuff. But definitely comfortable using my voice now.
Yeah, just on that. I mean, I think I'd kind of been the opposite of Akil. I would like to kind of be the one to come front forward and speak on things, but like Michaela said, and like you said, it's not like a lot of times when things happen, people look at you and they want you to respond right away. Whereas a lot of times it takes a lot of breaking down what's actually happening, thinking about what you want to say. So, through doing this podcast, I have learned it's okay to just kind of take a step back and find the right approach. But I don't think there's a right or wrong way of going around things. If you want to be the front person or the person in the back, I don't think there's a right or wrong way.
Michaela, these guys, like, you know, I'm seeing them blowing up interviews here and interviews there. Elijah, like they're killing it. But I can respect your gangster, as we would say. You know, you're in the cut.
So I don't know. My dream for hockey is, my dream for men's hockey is for players to kind of, have more of personality. I want, the most famous football players and NBA players to be kind of held in the same, pedestal as the best hockey players. I want the best hockey players to get paid more than, the fifth string quarterbacks and stuff like that. What would you say your dream is for women's hockey?
Honestly, just to be shown, like, given their chance and stuff. Like, I feel like once we show the game, like, people actually have interest in it. And it's, like, the same for you. Like, we don't need to be paid millions and millions of dollars to be, like, satisfied and know that we're doing something and we're, like, starting something up. Like, just people showing that, like, we are a sport and, like, we are competitive and, like, we're probably not as strong, not as hard, and not as fast as the men's players, but we are, like, very similar in our own way and stuff. So just to see, like, it grow and, like I said, like, we don't need to be paid millions to know that we're doing something good and, like,
don't say that.
Are going to grow the game.
You need to be paid millions. Come on.
Million. That's a lot of money. Like, not even Austin Matthews makes, like, okay, it's a lot of money, but, like, not as much as, like, a football
LeBron
player.
James,
like,
and all those guys.
Yeah, like, they get paid. I don't even know what the heck they do with all that money.
You just want to play.
Yeah, and, like, get a little money in return.
Yeah, as long as you can pay your bills, you don't have to worry about living. You could just go out there and play. You're all good. I think that's a great attitude to take for the game, and I wish you all the luck. You're such a gamer, for real. Like, I've watched the games, and I've talked to Digit before, and she just has, great things to say about you.
Thank you. She is honestly an amazing coach, so I don't know.
I see. Okay, actually, wait, before you go, Elijah, mm-hmm. I did see, when you guys won your first game in the bubble, there was a video of you guys, like, dancing around. And, like, what was funny about this on Twitter that I saw, like, you were you could see you just chilling because you're very laid back. But there's this one girl that was doing this weird dance, looked like she was bunny hopping. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I do.
Who is that? What was that?
Honestly, it's some, like, TikTok dance or something. And it's crazy because she is the oldest person on our team, but literally has the most energy on the team. Like, she's like Digit, like, they just bring energy out of nowhere. You have no idea where it comes from. And they just start getting up and dancing. And we're like, and, like, everyone feeds off that energy. So it's, like, good energy, but it's like, how are you still moving like that at that age? Like, it's crazy.
Don't say awesome. Anything. Don't say anything, Akil. Don't say nothing. Yeah, don't say a damn thing. Just keep quiet.
So, Mikhail, there's this thing we do on our show where we ask our guests their top five songs. And, being from Brampton, I know you're going to come with a killer top five. Brampton has got some up-and-coming artists, yours to discover.
For sure. Just one of them.
But let's say they throw you back in the bubble. You guys get your chance at the championship, you're on Ox right before the game and you got five songs to play to get your team hyped up so you can go win. What are those five songs you're playing?
Well, like Elijah was saying, my five hot songs is my brother's songs, obviously. They always get me pumped up. He has, like, three of them. Like, I listen to them all the time. So I guess those are my top three. And then my other ones, like, I just love sing-along songs. Like, I'm a weird kind of girl. Like, if I can sing along to the song, you're getting me pumped up. It's not the same for everybody, definitely. I would definitely put that Love Story song that we have for our team win song. Like, that's a huge pump-up song for us there.
Okay.
And then I don't even know for a last one. Like, I just like sing-along songs. Any song I can sing to.
Mm-hmm.
You got me there.
So let me get this correct. Your brother's an artist?
Yes. Yours to discover.
That's his name?
Yeah.
Yours to Discover.
One word.
Okay. Kind of like The Weeknd. Just a name that doesn't make no damn sense.
Huh? The names of those songs, though, you said there's three that you listen to. Let's give them some love and kind of promote those songs.
Where can they find them and all that? I want to hear it.
It's on Apple Music. Well, it was on Apple Music. I'm not sure why he took it down. You guys can ask him for me.
Okay, we'll search it. Give us the name of your three songs from Yours to Discover. So when he gets interviewed, what do they call him? Mr. Discover, or do they call him Yours? How do you refer to him?
I think Yours to Discover, like the whole name. I'm not even sure.
Hey, welcome to the show, Yours to Discover. What? Discover what? No, that's his name, Yours to Discover. What do you want me to find? It's Yours to Discover.
Call me. You're not ready.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, three songs from Yours to Discover.
But it's Better Days. That was his first one that he dropped. Okay. Absolutely loved it. And then there's one that's called CP24 and Back to Earth. Those are his newest ones. And I bump to them all the time in the car, before games, everywhere.
I feel like I've seen online CP24. I have to look that up. But you say it's fire, so and
it is.
I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna listen, and then next week I'm going to give my critique on Yours to Discover. Okay,
that's good.
MGM, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said, you were lighting it up in the bubble, and Hockey Canada, Team Canada Women's. We're not telling you to just put her on the team, but if a leading goal scorer does not even get a tryout, we're going to have some issues, and we are going to call it out. I'm marking this down right now. We don't want no handouts. All we want is the best of the best for Team Canada. And if MGM can't even get a tryout, then y'all better bring the gold. Because if you don't bring the gold, I'm calling back to what happened to Angela James. Okay? Y'all didn't put her on the first one. Y'all didn't win. MGM ain't on this one. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
That's a good one.
Like that? Okay. Boys, you wanna sign off?
No, I'm with you on that, Kwame. We better see her on that team or that opportunity, or you know, we're gonna need some answers after that. So just keep doing your thing. Mm-hmm. Keep killing it. And I'm sure we'll be seeing your name around lots.
Yeah, I'm gonna be bold here. I'm calling a game winner.
Right
now. I'm calling it.
Imagine that.
Oh, gosh.
Off the bench.
No pressure, but.
None. Off the bench, Akil Thomas style. So tell your dad what's up. Find out the history of your family, because I hear it goes deep. And yes, we appreciate you for being on the show. And thank you so much.
No worries. Have a good day, guys.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Easy.
All right. That was Michaela Grant Mentez rocking with the best. Elijah, their family runs deep with you guys. You know, speak on it.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, like she said, she played hockey with her brother. But you know when you kind of see that someone's going to be a player?
Yeah.
Like you could always see that with her, even when she was playing boys hockey. Like you could just tell she was going to be dominant. And she always just had the right head on and would go to work. So it's no surprise to me that she's doing as well as she's doing. But, yeah, I'm really hoping that Team Canada gives her that opportunity. It'll be great to see.
That was interesting what you were saying, Akil, the difference between, you know, Hockey Canada's operations for female and men. Do you think that's something that needs to be changed, or do you just, you know, is it just kind of is what it is?
Yeah, I think everything can kind of be improved, you know, like even with the men's hockey and everything. But I was more just saying like that. I've heard that from like, you know, many different girls, like from different sports, too. Mm. So I feel like it may be, you know, obviously, like the biggest thing for Canada is like they're, you know, the men's hockey. Right. So like they're going to have the most scouts, the best scouts for that, and they're going to scout every team, whereas maybe, you know, there's limited scouting in women's hockey. So I think maybe just kind of prioritizing that a little bit more would kind of benefit that. And, you know, obviously they're going to put the most resources in the men's hockey, but if they can kind of improve everything, that would obviously, you know, make it better.
All right. Well, once again, thanks to Michaela Grant Mentis for joining us. That was really awesome. Big shout out to Brother B holding us down. You know, make sure you check us out on all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter. We also have got the Spotify playlist. Make sure you check out Soul on Ice, the podcast. And this is, once again, Gender Equality Month. And we set it off correctly. And next week, we'll do it again. We'll do it big. So for Elijah Roberts and Akil Thomas, my name is Kwame. We out. Bong, bong.
And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power, statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson, I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted the shit, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house with a gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the past. From Jesus to Jordan to Crosby, Stills and Nash, we young. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
Nice.